And we're joined now by Washington Times senior editor of the opinion pages, Emily Miller. Hello, Emily.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing fine. What are you into today?
Well, I'm at the Capitol because they have Ryan's Budget Day. So it's Republican Budget Day. It was Paul Ryan announced it yesterday, and today they're having his markup, so a vote on it. And it's a tough vote for the committee. It's not a guaranteed pass. Some of the Republicans are not happy. They think the cuts could have been deeper. So they've spent all day negotiating and going through the different amendments in it. And mostly the Democrats are, you know, using their typical Medicare tactics, saying Republicans are going to end Medicare as they know it, which is totally untrue.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's really, you know, this is a political document more than anything. And it's a political document that's saying this is what Republicans will do if they run, if they win the White House and win Congress. This is how our spending levels will be. This is how we will prioritize things. This is how we'll reform Medicare. And, Andy, this is, you know, we already know that Romney and Newt and Santorum have all endorsed this plan in the past 24 hours. So it really is the party platform.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of strange, though, in that Ryan's message is a very good one. Tax reform, entitlement reform, slow government spending. But there are others who said yesterday that this is a gift for the Democrats because they're going to use this against the Republicans as we go forward to November. You agree?
I agree, and they already started. I mean, this budget wasn't even out of Paul Ryan's hands before the Democrats were saying that, you know, this is the Republicans' way of stopping, you know, not taking care of poor people and ending Medicare for seniors. I mean, Pelosi's statement, I think, came out almost simultaneously. And that's what I think is really brave of Paul Ryan being a spokesman for this, or really the House Republicans, is that they've taken this issue of entitlement reform, which is an absolute crisis. There is nothing more dire facing our country because it is the biggest driver of spending. Nothing else is even close. And they're saying it has to be done, it has to be tackled. And quite frankly, Paul Ryan's budget is not that aggressive. I mean, nobody over the age of 55 will in any way be affected by these changes to Medicare. It doesn't balance the budget for 30 years because it moves slowly, because it wants to give people time. And then when it does change Medicare, the way it changes is people can still stay in Medicare system that's pay service that exists now, fee for pay service, or like, you know, those of us in Washington Times, the private sector do is we choose among a bunch of options given to us by our employer and the private sector and how we get better care and better doctors. None of this is radical, but this is all absolutely necessary, and I think it just really says a lot about the Republican Party right now that they're willing, knowing after spending a year getting beat up by the Democrats, they're going to hold their ground on this. And Paul Ryan, in fact, has doubled down. He's not just stopping with Medicare. He has proposed changes to other politically sensitive programs such as food stamps and Medicaid and agricultural subsidies and pensions for federal employees. Because he's saying these programs are rising so fast, they're blowing our budget, and they have to be reformed, and let's try to do it this year. So he's not only not backing down, he's pushing it even further. And I think it's admirable. It's, you know, really what needs to be done.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking the other day, I was playing a clip from Mitt Romney at the University of Chicago, and he was talking to college students about, you know, how can you vote for a Democrat when they're going to push all this debt right into your lap? I think, you know, Paul Ryan and company ought to be out telling the young people about this and really addressing that particular crowd, because this is something that's going to benefit them in the long run. And, you know, let's face it, Republicans in the past haven't done real well with the young people when it comes to, you know, November's in history.
Well, I agree with you completely. This is just a matter of education. And they have said, Republicans, Paul Ryan, and now we have all the front runners, Newt Gingrich, Mitt Romney, Rick Santorum, all have come since Paul Ryan said this a year ago, come back to the same position and said, we have to reform Medicare, we have to reform Social Security, and they're all on the same page, Republican Party. And it just goes to show you how well they have done in just a year in educating people and what it means and how important it is. I mean, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you would never hear anyone in Washington talk about changing Medicare, Social Security, or Medicaid. It just wasn't discussed, and now it's openly discussed in the Republican Party. When they're the ones who are trying to take on Obama and say, this is the time when we really need to show how we're going to tackle this $15 trillion debt.
All right. Now, Do you understand the tax end of this? Because yesterday we received word that there are going to be two tax brackets down from a total of six. And who falls into which bracket? Do you understand any of that?
I do. And just to keep in mind, though, the budget, or any budget, is not a governing, it's a governing document, but it's not law. And it's not going to be law because the Democrats don't put up a budget. So we got no budget from the Democrat Senate, and we've got a budget from the White House that was completely insincere and doesn't tackle the debt. And then we have the House budget. So there is not going to be anything other than the House budget is a document that shows where the party stands, what the party will do if given control in Washington and the White House, but it can't be enforced because it's just a sole document here that can't get passed because the Democrats don't come to the table. But when you look at what they would do on taxes, that was the first thing, as you said, this year as they started. Last year, Paul Ryan said that the corporate tax rate should be lowered to 25%. That's been pretty much agreed to now, even by the White House, that needs to be done. So what's new this year is that he's saying we need to reform individual taxes. And he's saying it's revenue neutral. So no one's taxes will go up and no one's taxes will go down. And by doing that, he has the Ways and Means Committee take out a bunch of loopholes and special interests. He wasn't clear on what those were. And Ways and Means Chairman Camp will be the one who will have to decide exactly what they are. But then by taking out all that complexity in the code, they could lower it to two rates, 25 and 10. They have not said exactly who's going to be in those two rates, and obviously that's a big gap. But since they've also said it's revenue neutral, most likely what it's going to be is the 10% will make the base bigger so that more people will be paid into the taxes, more people will have, quote, skin in the game, so that they'll have a low rate of 10%. And mostly anybody probably middle class, upper middle class is going to be hit by the 25, which is obviously much lower than the current top rate of 36.
Yeah.
So everyone's tax will go down. It would broaden the base. But really, it's the simplicity of the code by taking out all these loopholes that really make it hard for everyone to comply with the tax code. That would be a spur to the economy. You have to also remember, though, we're looking at, as of December 31st this year, everyone's taxes are slated to go up. And the president is only saying that he will support keeping taxes as they are for everyone unless you make over $200,000 a year. So the tax code is on the table, and this is how the Republicans would handle it. They would reduce it to the two rates.
I got you. All right. Well, I think this is the right angle. I think this is the right way to go. Paul Ryan, I admire for his work. I think he's a brilliant guy. But, the problem is we live in such a spoiled society. Many aren't worried about the next generation, and that is a problem come November.
It will be. But, I wish, Andy, a problem a lot politically, realistically, the young don't vote like the old vote.
Yeah, I know.
And that's the problem. And the old people, God bless them, but they flip out if you mention any changes in Medicare and Social Security. And as I mentioned earlier, this plan would not affect anybody over the age of 55. People have plenty of time to figure this out. Nothing's going to change. But yet they flip out and oppose it. And I really wish, frankly, I wish seniors would care more about the way they're leaving this country and what they're doing to young people instead of being so self-absorbed with how they're just something that's not even going to affect them.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I really do.
I think my grandmother's probably going to call and yell at me now, but that's what I think.
You tell her to take it up with me, okay?
I will.
All right, Emily.
She's 100.
Great to talk to you.
We'll do it next week.
Sandy. See you.
Have a good day.
Oh, you too. Emily Miller, Washington Times senior editor of the opinion pages. It's 4:26. By the way, check out her column today in the paper, If Conservatives Ran Washington.